Okay. The disciples had a problem that all of us seem to have, and that is they wanted to be the greatest. I mean, I don't care what group we find ourselves in, what we find ourselves doing, we kind of end up wanting to be the greatest. And that's a problem that they had amongst themselves. I mean, it's interesting to me that I've seen guys like us make up some stupid game, and then we instantly turn around and find out who's the greatest. And so this is something that they dealt with, and Jesus talked to them about this again and again. It's kind of interesting to me how many times Jesus said, guys, I'm going to die. And they said, oh yeah, who's going to be the greatest? You know, and that's just like us. And so what he does is he grabs this child and he says, you need to become like this little child. I really never fully appreciated this idea until I went to India. And in India, I mean, we can even be in a town, a city of 8 million people, and there's little kids running around with no parents. And so you see all these little street kids just everywhere. And you see them so often that they almost become faceless. And I think that's what's going on here. Jesus grabs a street kid and says, unless you become like this child, you can't be in the kingdom. So here's this nameless, faceless child, and he's showing them about what it really means to be great in the kingdom. And so we need to think about what characteristics do children have that we need to have as Christians. Because if we're going to be the children of God, if we're going to be sons of God, we've got to think about becoming children. And so that's what we're going to do today. Today we're going to talk, and this is going to be a group effort today. We're going to talk about becoming like children, and we're going to look at concepts, we're going to look at ideas, attitudes that kids have, that children have, that we need to have. And so we're going to think about, well, what verses speak to that characteristic? Why is it important for us as Christians to have that? What would the opposite be? Because sometimes it's helpful to understand anything if you understand what it's not, what its opposite is. And then how are we going to develop that characteristic? And like I said, this kind of be a group effort. So the first thing that I want us to do, I want us to think about some characteristics that children have that we need to have as Christians. And I'm going to prime the pump because I want to talk about this one and say that one of the things that kids are that we need to be is teachable. Okay? So start throwing out some other ones at me.
Curious.
Curious. Yeah. Spell it.
C-U-R-I-O-U-S.
Yeah. It's funny because the other class had that one as well, so I learned to spell it in the last class.
Inquisitive.
Let's say it's the same.
Okay.
Because you can't spell inquisitive.
Right.
All right, give me another.
Innocent.
Okay, give me another one.
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable?
Vulnerable.
Shut up. Spell
it. V-U-L-N-E-R-A-B-L-E.
Slower. V-U-R.
L.
N-E-R. Everybody's been quiet for real, so Justin can tell me.
N-E-R. A.
I can't say that word, okay? I can't say H-U-M-A-N correctly either. H-U-M-A-N. It's human. Okay, give me another.
Forgetting.
Forgiving.
Dependent. Trusting. Simplistic.
No. Are you trying to say something?
No.
You are like a little child.
S-I-M-P-L-I.
I see. You got it. See. Perfect.
Joyful.
I like that one.
Open.
Oh, what do you mean?
They just tell you everything. They're not afraid to speak what's on their mind.
Okay.
Not afraid?
I don't think so.
Well, I was thinking more of like...
I mean, I used to jump off garages when I was a kid, and I wouldn't do that anymore. But I was also afraid of the boogeyman.
Well, that's what I was thinking more of, like, being, like, unafraid to talk to people. Like, yeah, I guess that's a word for it.
Naive.
Naive? So you think we as Christians should be naive?
No, we're just listing children characteristics.
Well, I thought you just liked spelling me, seeing me write words I can't spell.
Yeah, that's
alright. I think this is a pretty decent list. Okay? And so, first, let's as a group talk about teachable. So what are some passages, and I know I chose this, but can you think of any passages that talk about the need for Christians, or God's people, to be teachable? Just tell me.
There's a lot of verses in Proverbs talking about how wise people listen to instruction.
Absolutely. Especially those first four chapters of Proverbs, that's kind of the drum that he's beating. I heard somebody say Acts 17. What, and who is that? What's that?
The Bereans.
The Bereans. They were noble-minded because they were willing to be taught. What else? Anything else? What? 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. So there's an idea of being teachable. Okay? Why is it important for Christians to be teachable?
Because we don't know everything.
Okay? We don't know everything. Why do we need to know?
God knows everything.
God knows everything. Why do we need to know everything that God has at least revealed to us?
Hosea says that his people died for a lack of knowledge.
Okay, his people died for a lack of knowledge. So we don't want to die.
Proverbs, the whole like theme of like the first few is like the foolish resists teaching.
Okay, so we don't want to be fools.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we want to be fools? Who is a fool in Proverbs?
The angry, the children who don't listen to their parents.
Yeah, the man who says there is no God. And so we need to be teachable because there's some things that we need to learn to live and live forever. So it's very important for us to be teachable. What would you say is the opposite of being teachable?
Stubborn.
Foolish.
Ignorant.
Maybe not foolish necessarily. Because sometimes when I'm foolish, I can recognize that I'm foolish and want to change. But you do have this idea of foolish that you aren't willing to change. What about being a... Go ahead, Dennis.
I was going to say hard-heartedness.
Hard-heartedness. Go ahead, John.
Know-it-all.
Know-it-all.
Pride.
When I first, and that's pride. When I first started preaching, this old man walks up to me and he says, "Son, there's nothing you can teach me." And I said to him, "Well, that being said, you are exactly right." Because I knew he wasn't going to listen to anything that I had to say. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I think this is really important for you all to get. I was your age once, and I've done a lot of camps in the past 26 years. In the past 26 years, it's actually 23 years. This is my 61st week of camp where I was a teacher or a counselor. So I've been around you guys a lot. I was once you, and there's something you absolutely have to know. You don't know everything. Sometimes you think you do, and you don't. And as long as you walk around thinking you know everything, you're not going to get what you need to learn and to know and how to live. And you are surrounded by guys who don't know everything, but who in many cases know a whole lot more than you. And so you have to remember that and think about that. How do we develop a teachable spirit or just being teachable? How do we develop that?
Humility.
Humility. Absolutely. What else?
Self-restraint.
Self-restraint. Why do you say that? I like that.
Because, say you have an arrogant attitude and you say, you're talking about like some certain book, and you go, "Oh no, this is on this page, on this paragraph, on this word." Especially when someone says something that you don't necessarily agree with or that you think is wrong, most people's first instinct is say, you're wrong, or in some way be like, that's not right. And so it takes self-restraint to not just jump and say, that's wrong.
I think that's a really good point. I think along those same lines, too, sometimes what we do is, like, I read a passage about, I read to you Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, where it talks about predestined to be adopted, and I want to talk about adoption, and you want to talk about predestination. And so you have to be self-restrained to not talk about what you want to talk about and let the teacher emphasize the part that he's trying to emphasize, and it's easy to get distracted like that, and that requires self-restraint. I like that. Okay, what other topic would you all like to talk about? Give me one.
Vulnerable.
Okay. Does anybody else like vulnerable? Who said vulnerable? Who else? You just want to hear me say it again, right? Did you say it?
No, I think.
Who else said it? You said it, and you said it. Anybody else like vulnerable? Don? Okay, the three of you get together and do this with the word vulnerable. All right, give me another one. Come on. Chop.
I like dependent.
And you can move your seats and stuff. Which one do you like? Who said what?
Dependent.
You like dependent? Does anybody else like dependent? All right, Josh, anybody else? Deacon, anybody else?
Jonathan suggested.
Jonathan, yeah. All right, you four get together. You get the four and do this about dependent, okay? And y'all can, I'm going to give you like 10 minutes, so you probably want to take your seats and move your seats and all that stuff. All right, somebody give me another.
Joyful.
Joyful. All right, if you like joyful, go to camera. All right, give me another one.
Trusting.
Trusting. If you like trusting, go with...
Curious.
If you like curious, go back in the corner. So I think most of you have counselors and campers. So try to help this be, and I mean, sorry, Christopher, but just going to be hard for you since you're the only one there. But try to help your campers run this. Try to do more guiding than just controlling, or at least share it equally, okay? So make sure the camper has input.
You want to separate some of the campers that have been to the...
What do you all, curious?
Yeah.
Do any of y'all want to go to curious? All right. Anybody want to go to installations? You're doing humble? Oh, you're on the ground. I appreciate that.
All right,
go ahead.
Okay. Fisher, do you have any passages that come to mind when you think about the idea of trust? Trusted
If you have a watch, we're going to stop. It's like
Jesus saying those.
half past the hour.
It's like a question, right?
Give you an idea how to budget your time.
Talks about how often Jesus went together, and you should choose them together, or just like a thing together.
So I think in the context here, it means four. So in Ephesians 4, So like in contrast to getting all worked up in that situation, through difficult situations.
So what would
do you want to talk about Jesus?
I mean, we skipped it all.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think
it's really
very hard to trust people.
It's like crying. It's bitterness, crying. Numbers. These numbers are I'm just like those guys. There's a quote that I've heard before where something where there's no real fear, basically there's no virtue. When our trust is tested, that whether or not we truly trust God, it's easy to trust God when things are going wrong. That's a misplaced the more we trust them, the more we see that we just trust them.
We got about 1 minute, so wrapping things up. All right, let's you just stay where you're at, but let's start talking, let's start sharing what you have been talking about and what you've seen and learned. So I don't remember who's who. I think it's Chase. Y'all were curious. So what kind of passages did you find to talk about being curious?
I talked about Matthew 13, where Jesus is talking about why the parables, or why he speaks in parables. To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. There's going to be a lot of people who come to the teaching of Jesus, and they say, that's weird. And they just kind of do a side with it because they don't get it. Someone who is curious, who is inquisitive, more is going to be given to them, more understanding is going to be given to them, and they will reap obvious benefits from the teaching of Jesus.
That's really good. Curious wasn't on my list, and so I'm learning here. I really like that. That's really good. And so why is that important for a Christian?
Jesus says if you seek what one.
Great. That's really good. That's really good. What's the opposite?
Arrogance.
Why is arrogance opposite of curious?
Because if you're arrogant, you don't want to learn anything else.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Anything else on opposite? All right, how do we develop that? Now, Abe, I guess this falls to you. How do we develop curiosity?
You see just how much you have to learn and how much is out there. And once you get that, then you're gonna want more.
Yeah, that's good. I tell you something, and the last class did curious as well. Average wise, they were younger than you all. And one of the boys, I thought this was so cool. One of the boys said, "You have to love it. if you learn to love it, then you're always curious about things that you love. And so I thought that was really, really good. But anything y'all want to add?
Talking about if you grew up knowing the Bible and going to church, and there's passages you already know and have heard, or even doctrines you've already been taught, being curious still yet in later years to go back and question those things is actually a good thing. And I thought that was a good
point. That is a really good point. I can't tell how many times I've had so much fun studying a subject that I thought I knew, to only find out there was a whole lot more to it than I really got. Abba Father, that I talked about yesterday, is absolutely one of those moments. So I think that's a great point as well. Okay, who has this word? And let me also say this. I hope y'all know that when I told Justin, I only said it because I love him dearly, and he needed to. And if you were offended by that, get over yourself. No, really. I hope you do know that. I know he does. So, vulnerable. So tell me about what passages did you see where we need to be vulnerable?
So there's a passage in Luke about the woman who wipes Jesus' feet, and they're saying that she was vulnerable because she was putting herself out there in front of the Pharisees who he was eating with, and that took a lot of courage from her to be vulnerable in front of them.
That's great. What, you got something else?
Yeah, and also in Luke chapter 18, the publican who's praying in public, not to be heard by others, but he was saying, what was me kind of thing. And while the Pharisee was praising himself, like, oh, thank God, I'm not like him.
Yeah, well, that's really good. You know, to love somebody means to make yourself vulnerable to them. And that's what it's all about. Excellent. Why is that important for a Christian?
In James 5:16, the second half of that verse, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, so it heals us. And if we confess our trespasses to one another, we can pray for each other and help each other.
Amen. You cannot get the help you need unless you're willing to make yourself vulnerable. Excellent point. What's the opposite of vulnerable?
Some words we came up with was like closed, defensive, private, or hardship.
That's good. Let me tell you something. If you see a young man here at camp who's kind of building a wall around himself, I want to tell you something. He's begging somebody to come in. That's really what he's doing. He's begging somebody to come in. And so we build these walls around ourselves. How do we develop that? How do we make ourselves vulnerable?
Being willing to open up to people, which takes a certain amount of humility, but also courage to speak up and do something, even though it may be awkward and embarrassing.
I really like that idea, too, because we think not being vulnerable is a way to show courage. But it's really, we're just hiding. It really does take a lot of courage to say, look, this is something I've been struggling with. Absolutely. Anything else y'all want to add? Excellent. All right. Humble guys, what passage did you have?
Oh, there's so many.
So give me one.
But, so your passage, Matthew 18:4, he specifically says it. We also mentioned Micah 6:8. It's one of the things that God requires of us.
Excellent.
And lots of others.
Excellent. So why is that important for Christians?
So, we've already heard it said a couple of times. This is one of those things that is kind of the key to unlocking several of these others.
Amen.
If you don't have this. Also, the flip side of that, I'll jump to the opposite. Pride, it can ultimately be the source of most of the sin in your life if you really continue to drill down to what's behind it.
That's absolutely right. You know, there's something that you can't get without humility. And you absolutely have to have it. Grace. You can't get grace without humility. What's the opposite of humble?
Pride.
Who in here doesn't deal with pride issues? Exactly. Well, how do you develop humility?
This is, again, kind of hard, but sometimes it's the school of hard knocks and experience. You often don't naturally come by humility. But when you've opened your mouth enough times and hopefully you're able to see the foolishness that came out of your mouth, if you learn from those sort of things, you can start to develop humility.
Amen. I can stand here today and tell you I'm truly thankful for the times God allowed me to be embarrassed. You know? Excellent. Anything else y'all want to add?
Well, just a proactive way, I guess, to develop. Just consider other things that are outside yourself. The universe.
Amen.
God's word. Other things that are bigger than us or outside of our control or authority.
Amen.
Spend some time thinking about that, and you can make yourself feel pretty small pretty quick.
Absolutely. Excellent. All right, dependent. What verse did y'all have about being dependent?
I think one of the bigger ones we had was John 15:5, talking about how we're connected to Jesus by being the branch.
Excellent. That's really good. I didn't think about that. That's excellent. So we can't live without that connection to Him. Really good. Why is that important for Christians? To be dependent. To recognize their dependence.
Being dependent teaches us to be humble.
How so? I mean, you're right.
See, now I knew. Now that you asked
me. I know. So anybody can help him.
To be dependent on someone, you have to lower yourself because we like to be proud. You're like, I can do it on my own.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's absolutely right.
It also develops. That dependency on God opens us up to dependency on each other, which is another important thing that God wants us to do. Like we mentioned, confessing our sins to one another, being a part of the body and bearing one another's burdens. Like the interdependency among each other is vital.
Yeah. You know, when I think about this being dependent on God, I always think about how when my wife would make food for one of my children and put it on the high chair tray, and the child would say, I feed myself. And they think they're feeding themselves because they do this. But how did that food get on their tray to begin with? So they may be putting the food into their mouth, but are they really feeding themselves? So we thank God, I got this. Did we ever really have it to begin with? Isn't He doing that same thing for us always? All right, opposite of being dependent? Don't say independent, because I just took that from you.
Self-sustaining.
Ooh, good word. Self-sustaining. And where does that put us? Why is that a bad thing?
Because if we're not dependent, then, well, because if we're dependent, we're relying on somebody else to help us. Well, if we're self-sustaining, then we got it all ourselves.
That's exactly right. And so you don't look to God for anything. I went to Norway. That's a very rich country. They don't need God, because they got everything already. And we in America can behave that way as well. How do we develop this? How do we realize and appreciate our dependency on God? It's not your question. It's theirs. Because y'all should have talked about this.
Well, I think this went along with lowering yourself, but surrendering more and more of your kind of idols, like things you go to when you've had a bad day at work, or you know, you are feeling oppressed or anything.
That's really good. Surrendering your idols. I like that a lot. I really do. Anything else y'all want to add? Matt, what do you want to add? You can. Go ahead, brother.
I think it's critical not to be dependent on God, because if you're saved by Jesus' blood and nothing else, and that's
amen.
We can never do anything with this.
Amen. Trusting. Who had trusting? All right, so what verses did y'all have for trusting?
We did Psalms 4, verses 4 and 5, and we went to Matthew 6. I forgot what verses, but it was talking about how God provided for all the animals, and that we are worth much more than that. So
that's really good. The hairs on our head are numbered. Excellent. Why is it important for Christians to be trusting? Christopher's done his part.
Well, if we're saved by faith. You know, like we can't have any interaction with God if it isn't by trust. So that's kind of turning the door handle to even walk in the door into a relationship with God. So it's very fundamental.
I think how cool that is to think about. Humility, you can't have grace without humility. You don't get grace without faith and trusting. So I think that's excellent as well. What would be the opposite of trusting? What do you think, Peterson? It looks like you want to say it.
I wanted to answer the last one, bro.
Okay, no, you're going to answer the last one. We'll make Greg answer this one.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be a few different opposites, but pride certainly would be among them. Trusting in ourselves, self-reliance, rather than trusting in God, or misplaced trust might be another type of opposite where we trust in people, trust in flesh, trust in really anything besides the Lord.
What about just always being suspicious? I mean, there are some people who are just suspicious of everything. And we've got to be careful. Again, we're supposed to be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So we're not to be naive, but at the same time, we shouldn't be so suspicious. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we are very suspicious of each other. Mm-hmm. We're suspicious of our brethren. We're always thinking our brethren, often thinking our brethren are up to something they shouldn't be up to, or that they're just doing that because they know, and maybe that's not it. Maybe we need to be more trusting. All right, Peterson, how do you develop a more trusting character?
I think for everyone, I would say, is to hang on to Jesus, hang on to his word. You know, I think it's longevity, you know.
Yeah. There's one person that you absolutely know you can trust always and forever, and that's the Lord. And so if you learn to trust in him, I think then it helps you learn to develop trust in his people as well. Brady?
I think about, you know, our theme of children and how a child develops trust in their parents. Really, it's by experience. And the more that we do trust in the Lord, the more we will recognize that he is trustworthy.
Amen. Excellent. All right, joyful. What verses did y'all have for joyful? Or what verse? Give me one.
One of ours is Galatians 5:22. In the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then one other one was in 1 Corinthians 13, when it says, rejoice in the truth, again, verse 6.
Very good. Excellent. Why is it important for Christians to have joy?
An example is... with evangelism, when you go up to somebody and want to preach the gospel to them, or even just talk with them about it, you don't want to be like, hi, do you want to talk about Jesus? You want to be more like, do you want to have a Bible study with me?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Is that the only area? Is that all y'all talk about with why it's important to be joyful? Okay.
We have, for instance, Christ was joyful. So if we are imitate Christ, we should be like him. I think he was joyful. And it makes it believable, shows that we believe it.
Shows we're genuine, right?
Yeah, shows it's genuine.
And I'm going to tell you something, there's a difference between happiness and joy. And I get, you know, and you need to understand this. God does not want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy.
Amen.
Was there ever a time in Jeremiah's life that he was happy? I mean, it certainly doesn't seem like it. He didn't call Jeremiah to be happy. He called Jeremiah to be holy. But you can be holy and joyful, and that's different. Because some of the things, God wants me to be happy, so now I can go do this thing that God clearly told me not to do. Wrong. God wants you to be holy, first and foremost, and find joy in being holy. And that's different. And I just want you to understand that. Jonathan, I don't have time, all right? But if it's great, we'll come back to it, because I want to let these guys finish. Opposite. What would the opposite be?
Some of the words we came up were pessimistic, dull.
Ooh, good word.
Angry, rude.
Greeks.
Stoic.
I'm stoic.
Yeah, very good. Very good. I like pessimistic. I'm going to have to work on the rude one myself. Obviously, you've seen that in this class. But I need it to enjoy.
All joy.
How do we develop joy?
Counting your blessings.
Ooh, excellent. So, you're going to say that?
Yeah.
No, that. That's all right. Count your blessings. Jonathan, what did you have, brother?
I was reminded of what Esther said in Nehemiah 8. When he was teaching the law, they all mourned because they heard that they were breaking the law. He said, don't mourn, be joyful. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so, learning that God is patient and long-suffering and takes time to make us holy is a source of joy.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, I want y'all to mark this down. If we're late and Joe comes in, it's Nathan's fault.
My fault, yes. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Therefore, these things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full.
Amen.
If you keep his commandments.
Amen. That's exactly right. So, the reason we start with this is just because these are the building blocks. Everything else that we're going to talk about, you need to have these in your back pocket. When we talk about being a son, a brother, and becoming fathers. This is the foundation. All right, thank you all very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.